from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, yeah. On your home for the best Ravens coverage.
What time is it?
It's time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney. 105.7 The Fan.
I just plan on being ready to go and ready to put the ball through the uprights. Any place, anytime, whenever Harb sends me out there, it's for a reason. It's to come back with 3 points.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland here for Bob Haney this week. Still with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Featured Artist Friday. We're getting you some news from the Nest. You're hearing from Justin Tucker right there. It's funny, Tucker gave long-winded answers on everything. But that one, which conveniently enough was my question about him. We saw him hit the 68-yarder the other day in practice. And last year, Vinny, we talked about it the other day on air. He was 1-for-5 from 50-plus yard field goals. So I, you know, asked him if he was expecting to get or wanted to get more opportunities with some of those longer field goals. And that's what he said. Pretty much cut and dry, yeah, it's whenever Harb sends me out there.
Well,
which is what it is, because he wants to kick it every time you ask him.
Right, but Harbs is going to let him kick it if he's making them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
But how do you, with a guy like him, even if he's not, how do you allow yourself to say you're not confident in Justin Tucker?
Well, the other thing you got to say is, you know, who am I playing? What's the quarterback that I'm playing? Because, I mean, if you're kicking 50-some yarders, you're giving them the ball on the 40, 45-yard line. So what's the score of the game? You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into, you know, if it's the end of the half, no problem. I'm trying 50-yard field goals. But if it's a tight game and 3 points really matter, I may punt it instead. And I think that's what happens a lot. It's a tight situation, and you know, historically, you know, I guess, what does the analytics say?
I mean, and that's a big decider for them,
especially over 50. That would be for me too. With, you know, I love Tucker inside of 50. Oh, I'm kicking 100 out of 100. But if he's gonna be 25% from outside of 50 or whatever, I gotta play the odds.
Let's hear more from Justin Tucker. We know the big thing in the NFL this year is the new kickoff rules. We got our first taste here in Baltimore with it last weekend. Here's Tucker talking about his first look with the new kickoff.
You know, just getting out there and putting the ball in play and seeing across the league and in our own game how the play is going to develop. Getting an idea for that was definitely a good start. So, you know, excited to see what we can do with more opportunities in the future.
What do you think this thing is going to look? I mean, because right now it looks bad. It just looks clustered. It looks messy. It looks borderline dangerous at times, depending on what angle you're looking at it, because it's a lot of bodies, close proximity. You're going to get a lot of holding and stuff. It looks like the refs aren't even fully confident and what they're looking at with this new rule. Do you feel like as the year goes on, it will start to look the way the league expects it to?
What does the league expect it to look like? I don't think they knew what they're
They
expecting.
Saw it a couple of times in the XFL and all that stuff and just thought it'd be a quick, easy carryover. And it's showing that it's not right now.
I think what they're finding out is, you know, if you're the return team, how do I block those guys? Because they're five yards.
Without holding or something.
And not turning your shoulder.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're trying to figure out is how do I – because the defense, the kicking team looks like they're getting down there and a lot of free, you know, free rushers are coming in. And that's why we haven't – what's the longest return that there's been? There really hadn't been any. It's – I'm guessing it's not doing what they thought it would do.
I almost feel like they need to maybe – let the return team have an extra line. Like, maybe they don't all need to be. I see what they want to do with kind of like the war lines, it looks like, the old school war lines, but.
And then you can have two guys back.
Yeah, maybe you could have. In some cases, you can have two guys back. I think teams do have two guys back now.
No, but I mean, off that front line, there's two guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, have a couple people on that extra line to be able to be able to catch those guys running free. Just. And it takes away from the odds of holding or something happening. I don't know. You all those guys that close together all on one line, somebody falls over or something, that could go right into the next person's knee. And I don't know, maybe you're taking away the risk of, you're lowering the risk, I should say, of the upper body injuries, the head injuries, but you're increasing the lower body injuries, I feel like.
I don't know. There's some pretty big contact, right? I just have to see more. I guess because it's so new, and I didn't watch the XFL games, you know, so that's when I'm watching it now, it's the first time I've ever seen it.
Let's hear more from Tucker as he talks about adding different kick styles to his game.
You know, a lot of times people compare kicking a football to a golf swing. The one caveat I would add is that I only use one club. I only use driver. You know, occasionally you have a specialty kick, like a squib kick or an onside kick, but for the most part, it's one club, it's driver. So now I am opening up the bag, and we've got a lot more clubs we have to have a lot more clubs to pick from. So it's not necessarily about taking anything off of the ball. It's about being deliberate with where I place the ball.
And I think that's the thing. That's when maybe we'll start to see this new field goal situation look better, is when these kickers start to figure out where they want the ball to go. And now you've got the because you have to pick that ball up at a certain point and run with it. If you're kind of spotting it perfectly, maybe then we could get some different looks with this thing.
Cordell, I think it's a learning process for everybody.
Yeah,
I think all the coaches, they're all trying to, they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they're trying different things. And I didn't realize that if you kick it in the, whatever the zone is, the goal line to the 20, and it hits on the ground and then it rolls into the end
zone. Gotta get it.
Comes out to the 20.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's still a lot of things that, you know, even during the regular season, we can go, what's that rule?
Yeah, I'm still not fully up to date on all the
rules. Well, the officials
don't
know.
Yeah. So that's the biggest problem of it all. Let's hear one more from Justin Tucker. Here he is talking about being labeled the greatest kicker of all time.
I think as soon as any player, any sport, starts thinking that they're really sweet, that, you know, as the old adage goes, pride comes before the fall. We come out here and we try to make one kick at a time. We try to do our best with each rep that we get on field three by ourselves or in team periods. It's just about making the next kick and continuing to just be consistent more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked about Tucker and his 1-for-5 from the 50-plus last year. As great as a kicker as he's been throughout his career, that shows he still can improve. And just talking to him, a couple of times I got him in the locker room last year, and you get to talk to him like we did yesterday. Mm-hmm. He is a guy that is constantly looking for ways to improve. He doesn't just get complacent. And you heard he went on to talk about a story with Tom Brady being asked about being the GOAT, And instantly Brady goes on to start talking about all the people around him that put him in the situation to be the GOAT. And Tucker's very appreciative for the people that he works with during practice and everything. But this isn't a guy that I get the sense that he feels like he's the man and he doesn't need to consistently try to get better.
I would agree with, because, I mean, we're out there all the time, Cordell. We see how he works.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing has changed, you know, and he's focused and they're working on, like he says, the field three over there where it's just the kickers and stuff. He's doing the things that he needs to do. The problem that he's going to have, Cordell, is age. And coming with age, I'm sure he's probably lost some distance.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Kickers with age, sometimes it takes a, obviously, you know, that's not a position that has a lot of physical toll on guys, so they're able to play a little longer. But we've seen some kickers who, you know, have been able to make it all the way until 40 and maybe at 39 or so. Yeah, you know, they start to tick down a little bit. But with him, he could kind of keep going here. I don't necessarily see an end in sight for Tucker right now.
Well, the thing that helped Vinatieri was what? What was the biggest thing that helped Vinatieri?
Well, he played with some great quarterbacks.
No. Indoors.
Well, yeah, in Indianapolis.
When he got to be older in his career, he went indoors. Tucker made his field goal, his 68-yarder from
Detroit.
Where? Detroit, indoors. So, like, if it was indoors, Tucker may be even able to play, you know, have even be better.
Right.
Because come December, January, it's not easy kicking in Baltimore, Maryland.
No, it is not. Coming up next here.
And that's what makes him so special.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Guys like him and Bucker and these guys that play in these cold weather areas that, you know, it's like you said, late in the year, the wind and everything picks up. The weather in general changes, and these guys are still able to play at a high level. We'll play a little buy or sell coming up next on Vinny and Haney. We'll check in on the stock market, answer some questions from Quick Draw in the world of sports. That's next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
See you on the fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Penny and Haney. 1057, The Fan.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland in for Bob Haney this week. Still with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw coming up next on the program at 12:30. We'll talk some NFL with Rob Mahdi from the AP. See what he thinks ahead of the start of the NFL season. But right now, let's see what the stock market's looking like.
Well, Cordell says Wall Street heads for best week of the year as slowdown fears recede. So the Dow's up 79. The S&P's up 9. NASDAQ's up 40. DraftKings down 12 cents. Under Armour's up a penny. 784.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, it's been a green week, Cordell.
We'll take it.
It's been a hell of a week. Because last week, it was Friday? A week ago Friday, would the Dow drop like 1,100 or something?
All right, we'll start our sports topics here in the NFL. Odell Beckham Jr., he finds himself in Miami for this upcoming season, but has yet to participate in training camp. He was placed on the PUP list with an undisclosed injury, and the fact that it's undisclosed or no real information is out there has fans in Miami starting to grow a little restless. This led Odell to respond directly to a fan on social media. He was not too pleased about people inquiring about his status, basically saying, you know, buzz off, everything's fine. Everyone that needs to know or is in the know already knows within that building, and that's all that matters. Of course, last year in Baltimore, he did miss some time, a pair of games with an injury, and then was rested in Week 18 when they played the Steelers. Vinny, buy or sell, Odell will play less games this year than he did last year. 14 was his number last year.
Oh, definitely buy that. Just because at last year, he was at training camp a lot. And this year, he hadn't been at training camp at all. So, yeah, and this may be Odell's last season, too, playing, I would think.
Over to Major League Baseball, fans are always clamoring or asking to see starting pitchers go deeper into ball games. Well, those fans, they may be in luck. The idea of a minimum innings threshold has been proposed by some close to the league. Apparently, it's going to be something that's discussed further by the league, although it should be noted that it's very far away from actually being implemented. Under the proposed rule, starters would be required to pitch 6 innings before they can be removed. However, there are exceptions to that. You can remove a pitcher before the 6th inning if they've already reached 100 pitches, if they've already given up 4 earned runs or more, and of course, if they're injured. It's quite the radical idea, but we have seen baseball implement quite a few rule changes in recent years. Cordell, are you buying or selling this as a viable rule change?
I'm selling it. I just can't see this happening. We're already in a situation where pitchers are going down more and more, and the idea that you have is to keep these guys, is to force them to stay out there. We live in a time now where you're lucky to get 6 innings out of your starter. And I know that may upset some baseball purists because of the way it used to be, but I just don't see this being the way to go. If it's, and I saw the article, they want to make the starting pitcher more of the main character, quote unquote. I just don't think this is the time to do that.
Go back to football here. Matt Judon, we know he's got a new home, heading to Atlanta after being traded there by the Patriots. The Falcons certainly hoping he can return to his pre-injury form as a top-tier pass rusher. He did have just 4 sacks last year, but only played in 4 games. The 2 full seasons prior, he actually blossomed into a double-digit sack guy. He was never reaching those totals when he was with Baltimore. And it was largely believed that Bill Belichick was utilizing him far differently than Baltimore did. That led to the increase in sack production. How will he do now with a new coaching staff in Atlanta? Vinny, buy or sell, Judon will reach at least 10 sacks with his new team.
10. Oof. I'll buy it. You know, up there he's playing on grass and stuff. You know, he's going to be playing on turf, which he's got a good takeoff and he can run. So he's going to get a good takeoff there. So if he's healthy, yeah, I'll buy it. You know, and then the 1 year, you know, for 1 year, I think he'll be good. And then, you know, kind of like who was the running back Ravens hit? Alabama kid.
Oh.
Who had for 1 year. He was
Ingram.
Ingram.
Yeah,
yeah, I think it's going to be kind of like an Ingram situation where had one really good year and then the next year kind of fell off. I think that's what it'll be for Judon.
We'll stay in the NFL here. Of course, the Brandon Ayuk contract hold-in has generated plenty of media attention over the past few weeks, but this entire time, there has been another 49ers player actually holding out altogether. Talking about Trent Williams here, and he's racking up the fines by being away from the team as he seeks a new deal that will give him some guaranteed money for the next few years. Multiple seasons still remain on his current contract, but again, there's no guarantees in there, so he's looking to change that, at least with some sort of restructure. Buy or sell, Cordell, the need for a Williams restructure will ultimately be what prevents San Francisco from retaining Ayuk.
I'll sell it. I think the Ayuk thing is kind of going to play itself out. I don't know how much he really wants to be in San Francisco. He says he does, but I don't really know. Like, if they already have an offer on the table for him, is that offer that bad if he really wants to be there? I don't know. Trent, I think, is going to get his money at some point. He's stubborn, so he'll sit there.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares. He'll sit there until something happens with him. And if I'm the Niners right now, I don't know which one I'd rather pay. I have more probably emotional ties to Trent Williams, so I'll probably lean his way. It's nothing like having a left tackle that you could depend on, and he's the best of the best. But I don't think it's going to impact Ayuk's situation. I think that can be worked out regardless.
You know what the holdup is, Norm, is all these other teams, nobody's offered them $30+ million. And the Niners are in, and they told them, go out and see what, kind of like what the Ravens do. Go see what you're worth. And they did. And they're offering, you know, 20-something million. So you found out what the market is, and we're going to pay market, and you want more than what anybody's willing to pay you. I mean, that's, come on.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll talk some NFL with Rob Motti, who covers the NFL for the Associated Press. Get his thoughts on the preseason to this point. Could the preseason be going away? Should it go away? We'll ask him next here on The Fan. Getting ready for this NFL season, of course, a lot of eyes will be on these rookie quarterbacks, plenty to choose from. What about these rookie wide receivers? Any rookie wide receivers you're excited to see this season?
Well, obviously, Marvin Harrison is a guy that everybody wants to anticipate being potentially to follow in his dad's footsteps, which are big footsteps to follow in as a Hall of Famer. But Malik Nabers with the Giants is a guy that is such a great story. I love hearing earlier, I think it was like last week, about the OBJ, like asking OBJ for gloves when he was a kid, and here he is in New York with the Giants. And I think Roma Dunze can have an immediate impact. I really like what the Bears have done. But another guy, Brian Thomas Jr., I think can be, and he's a first-round pick, so there's high expectations. But when you're picked in the first round, and then there's all these other bigger names ahead of you, the expectations to have a breakout type season might not be as high. But I think he could do some really good things in that offense with Jacksonville. And Keon Coleman's going to be needed big time in Buffalo, especially with the loss of Stephon Diggs. And then Ladd McConkey's got to step up with the Chargers. So there's a lot of guys out there. I saw Polk last night a little bit with New England. They're still a little further away. They need a lot of help. And for Drake May's sake, I hope they can block up front for him and get, like what we saw last year with Bryce Young in Carolina. I hope that doesn't happen to any of the rookie quarterbacks this year.
Hey, Rob, how do you see the AFC South playing out? Because it looks like, you know, Jacksonville, they should rebound from last year. They had a great start. Houston, everybody's got Houston in the Super Bowl. People like Indy, you know, and then Tennessee's kind of quiet. Well, what do you think about that? It seems like it'll be a hell of a division.
Yeah, and it was thought of a whole lot less highly going into last year, but what C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson Jr., both AP Offensive Rookie and Defensive Rookie of the Year, were able to do, immediate impact. DeMeco Ryans, such a good leader, such a great head coach. The expectations are high for the Texans, and deservedly so, but I think with Anthony Richardson coming back, some of the moves that the Colts have made, they should be in contention for sure. And I was disappointed with Jacksonville's finish last year. I thought the Jaguars, coming off winning the division the year prior, winning that playoff game when they lost, were down 27-0 to the Chargers, that comeback, like I thought that they were going to take that next step in Doug Peterson's second year, sort of like Doug Peterson did in Philly in his second season, led the Eagles to the only Super Bowl victory in franchise history. So I could see them rebounding, and it's going to be a three-team race. I don't think Tennessee is there yet. I know they've made some moves, but for the Titans, I feel like you look at this season as a way to evaluate whether or not Will Levis is your quarterback of the future. You know the answer in Houston, it's C.J. Stroud. You're pretty sure that the answer is Anthony Richardson for the Colts, although he's got to stay healthy. And the Jaguars gave Trevor Lawrence a ton of money. He better be that guy, and he's got to take a next step forward and put himself into an elite category. So the quarterback question in that division surrounds Will Levis in Tennessee. If they can come out of this season knowing that, all right, he's our guy going forward, I think that's successful for them. They're not going to win the division. They're not going to make the playoffs, but I think that's the big win for them, the big victory, is knowing whether or not they got a QB. But I think it's going to come down to Houston and Jacksonville. I think Indy's just a little bit behind. But you could very well see three teams coming out of the AFC South, which you would have never thought a couple years back. One winning the division and two wildcard teams. There's going to be a lot of competition in the AFC.
We're talking to Rob Motti, who covers the NFL for the Associated Press. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Rob, they always talk about the Super Bowl hangover. We saw the Niners lose in the Super Bowl last year to the Chiefs again. We see what's going on with Brandon Ayuk right now. Trent Williams is holding out. Any concern over the Niners maybe dealing with the Super Bowl hangover?
Yeah, you're right. That Super Bowl hangover does get a lot of teams. Now, it didn't impact the Eagles last year until the end. They started 10-1, and then they bottomed out, going 1-6 the rest of the way, getting blown out in the playoffs. I think San Francisco is better positioned to be able to withstand any bit of that hangover, but we're already seeing some issues, right? Trent Williams, who they need a whole lot more than Brandon Ayuk, quite frankly. Trent Williams, three-time all-pro left tackle, 11-time Pro Bowler. Like, he's protecting Brock Purdy's blind side. And when he missed a couple games last year, they didn't fare well, and Purdy didn't play all that good in those games. So you need him in camp, and he's holding out. And then the Ayuk situation's got to get resolved sooner or later. So although I think they're in a great spot and in a great position, because to me, when you look at the NFC, it's San Francisco, it's Detroit, and Philly reloaded. They brought in Saquon Barkley, and I think those are the top three teams. So I think the Niners have a good shot to come out, as long as they don't let that Super Bowl hangover bite them, and they could figure out some of these holdout issues. Like, Ayuk's really interesting, because he certainly seems to want to stay and play in San Francisco. It's his best shot at winning and winning now. They know that they're better with him this year if they want to go for a Super Bowl than they are with draft picks that they would get for him. So it's a matter of figuring out this contract situation. I wrote a column about it today. He's due $14 million. He's got about 25 other wide receivers that he sees that are making 15-plus, 21 of them making $20 million-plus. So he knows he's worth more, but at the same time, they got Debo. They got McCaffrey. They got Kittle. He's not the number one guy. He's not even maybe the number two or number three guy. So that's an interesting situation. But ultimately, I think they'll figure it out, and the 49ers, to me, are probably going to be playing for an NFC title game.
Hey, Rob, I've been watching the Hard Knocks and the Bears and stuff, and I what I like is I like their team chemistry looks pretty good, you know. And that division, I agree with you, I like Detroit, and Green Bay is going to be good too. Minnesota will probably be in last. But what do you think about the Bears?
Yeah, I'm high on the Bears. There's always going to be that team that surprises you, right? And they wouldn't be as much of a surprise considering Caleb Williams, Roma Dunze. They bring in DeAndre Swift. They made some moves in the offseason. So this is a team that's certainly tracking forward. I just like the organizational structure behind that team, guys. Even a move that goes a little bit under the radar. Ted Cruz was a longtime PR guy for the Kansas City Chiefs, and he comes into Chicago with Kevin Warren as like a special assistant to the team president. Like, I like the culture that they've started to instill there. And I was in Canton for the Hall of Fame game. Unfortunately, didn't get a chance to see Caleb or the starters play in that one. But there was just a really good vibe around that team. And, they're in a tough division for sure. And Minnesota, although J.J. McCarthy went down, and he wasn't going to start anyway, so you can't rule out the Vikings being, they're going to be competitive. They got some talent. But I can see the Bears just hovering around 8-9 wins, taking that leap from where they were last year and being competitive for a wild card spot in week 16, 17, and 18.
Rob, a lot of talk about the Dolphins. Tua still looking for some money as well out in Miami, and we've seen the Dolphins last year look like one of the better teams in the league until you get to December, and really until they start playing some tough teams, especially on the road. Where's your trust level in Miami this season?
Yeah, they got to prove it in those cold weather games and those in the December environment when they're, whether they're in Buffalo, Kansas City, wherever they go. But they're in a division that I feel like is more winnable now. Like, Buffalo took a hit yesterday, losing Matt Milano, the all-pro linebacker. And he's got a biceps injury that could sideline him for the season. So that's a big crushing blow for the Bills, and they lost a lot of people on defense too. So it's there. The opportunity is there for Tua and the Dolphins. I love the way they can throw the ball. They can run the ball. They've got to figure things out defensively. But if Aaron Rodgers stays healthy in New York and they can solve their holdout with Hassan Reddick, like you go and make a trade for a guy who is one of the premier edge rushers and then don't want to pay him, it doesn't make any sense. I think the Jets can sneak into the AFC East and be the team that comes out of it. But Miami certainly for me will be right there at the end, somewhere between a 10 and 11 win team. And until they win a game, a big game, on the road in December or January, I can't have them going too deep into the playoffs.
Rob, great stuff. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. Let the people know how they can follow you and find your work.
Yeah, they can find me on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at Rob Maddi, M-A-A-D-D-I, and everything I do for AP is at apnews.com, including I pick every football game in the regular season and playoffs and was like 20 games over 500 last year. So people can check that out.
Appreciate your time, Rob. We'll talk again down the line.
Thanks, Rob.
You got it, guys.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, the Ravens, there on the football field tomorrow, taking on the Atlanta Falcons. What do we want to see from this defense in the second preseason game? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. I haven't seen anything yet.
No. Have you, Norm? Falcons playing any starters?
No, not yet.
I'm guessing Cousins is not playing.
Probably not, no. But get a lot of Penix. I would imagine Robinson probably isn't playing. I don't know what they had. I don't know if Al-Jair is still there. I got to check their depth chart.
Yeah, but Penix will be good work for the secondary and the pass rushers and stuff. So, yeah, it'll be – and the ball come out.
And that's what, you know, we're talking about now, looking at this defense. What are we hoping to see from this defense tomorrow? Like you said, Penix, his style will give them some things that they'll be able to get some work against. Mobility, he's got really a great arm in general, but he's got some really good arm talent, some of the best arm talent out of this rookie class. I thought the defense looked good for the most part in the first preseason game. What would you want to see from the defense tomorrow?
Well, you know what's interesting too, before we get into that, Cordell, is it's going to be different for the defensive guys. Why? Because the Ravens don't have any left-handed quarterbacks.
No.
And Penix is a left-handed quarterback. So, I mean, everything's going to kind of be opposite for them. All right, what am I expecting to see? Just improvement. That's what I want to see fundamentally. You know, I mean, we saw Wiggins last week. Who is Wiggins this week? And Simpson. You know, can you be a little bit more physical? I mean, he made a lot of tackles, you know, in down the line of scrimmage and, you know, like 7-8 yards. All right, be a little bit more physical. Travis Jones, step it up a little bit. Give me a sack. Mm-hmm. Show me something that, you know, encourages me that you're going to get 5 sacks. I did like his bull rush on the first play, but then I didn't see him the rest of the game. I mean, he made one play all day, I thought. I want to see Armour Davis. I want to see some secondary guys who are going to make some plays. And then D-line, just keep getting better fundamentally. Keep your shoulders square. Let the line, you know, take two if you're supposed to take two. And I want to see Isaac and Ajabo if they're playing, Cordell. I want to see them get a lot of work. And I want to see if they got the ability to bend the corner. I want to see their pass rush moves. I don't want to just see him running into offensive tackles. I want to see him take an edge. I want to see him bend a corner. I want to see their spin moves back inside. I want to see those things. You know, like we see Owe every day in practice working on moves. I want to see them working on moves. That's what I want to see. So do I care if they win or lose? I don't care if they win or lose. I just want to see guys, number one, stay healthy. That's always the biggest thing. And then number two, just make improvements. What I saw last week, that you're better this week. And then the following week, you know, you're better. And then, Cordell, the other thing is guys that we saw last week that played well, who's getting more reps this game?
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things that I'll be watching. But, like, the first time, like, when I'm watching tomorrow at noon, and I'm sitting there in my chair, the first time I watch it, I'm just watching to see who stands out. You know, what numbers are jumping out of me. Then when I go watch it the next time, then I'll be I'll be looking more in depth. And especially, I just can't, my eyes just don't ever go off the offensive line, Cordell, just because it's one of the biggest questions. You know, what I'll be watching on offense, I'll be watching the O-line most of the time. And on defense, I'm going to be watching Adisa Isaac. I'll be watching the pass rushers. Why? Because to me, those are the two biggest question marks that they have.
Yeah, hopefully Isaac does get to play in this game. I'd like to see him out there. Hopefully Ajabo can play, because I feel like he's coming off of probably his best week of practice.
Yep.
And Kent, we'll see if he's cleared for the game. But I'd like to see if he can kind of carry that momentum that he's had throughout this week into the game. Josh Ross was another one that, you know, he was second behind Trenton Simpson in tackles.
Him. Number 51.
Yeah, I want to see Josh Ross kind of, you talked about guys that played last week. Is their playing time going to get an uptick this week? I'm curious to see if he can kind of make the most of it, because I would imagine he's going to play a lot. Bo Braid, I'd like to see Bo Braid kind of take advantage of Kane not being there. Yeah. Maybe Bo Braid can get some opportunities. He had the tackle for loss in last week's game. Maybe he can flash a little bit as well. You mentioned Jalen Armour Davis. Guys like him and Pepe Williams, yeah, you want to see them start to show something, because they're the veterans of that group, you know, of that second or third unit, however you want to put it. They're kind of the guys that have been here for a while. So I want to see them do something as well. And in terms of the interior guys, yeah, you mentioned Travis Jones.
Yeah.
Travis Jones, the guys like him, the fringe starters, the guys that get run with the starters, they should feast in these types of games. So I want to see him show up.
Because you're playing backups.
Right, right. What you got, Nolan? Anybody you want to, anything you're looking for tomorrow?
Well, definitely defensively, it does start up front. Because early on in that game, the stats weren't really flashy for the Eagles. It's not like they were running wild. But I was a little disappointed with some of the big chunk yard plays that they did get. And as good as Simpson played there at inside linebacker, I thought the guys in front of him were kind of doing him a disservice at times and not really, you know, plugging any holes. And he was forced to make a lot of solo tackles that he probably shouldn't have. I do have one bold prediction for tomorrow. I am predicting that we will see one kickoff return for a touchdown.
Oh,
doesn't matter what team, but that'll be the big SportsCenter play that everyone examines and nitpicks, that this is the new rule and this is what happened.
All right, now we did it last week. Who's your MVP? Who are we going to be talking about on Monday? I was totally wrong. I said Ali.
Well, I did say Wright. Wright was in there. I mean, he's not. No, you're not beating a drum, but I thought he flashed. Kane was one of them. I said Sean Ryan. None of the wide receivers did anything.
No.
I'm hesitant to go that route again.
Anthony Miller, I think.
Anthony Miller has a chance. I'll still double down on Kadir if he gets a couple of targets. I'll double down on that.
He's had a couple good weeks of practice.
I'm kind of thinking Bo Braid may be able to make a play or two in this game as well. Those will probably be the three I go with.
How about you, Norm?
That's so hard. I mean, last week I whiffed with Charlie Kohler, but at least he was out there. So at least I picked a player that actually played.
My guy fumbled on the opening kickoff.
Just for fun, I'll say Armour Davis.
Okay.
Looked pretty solid last week. I'd like to see him continue to get reps. And it's been so unfortunate that him and Williams, their careers have been defined by their lack of availability. And even though there is more depth around them right now or more competition, I feel like they're still in prime position to make an impact on the team. It's not like they're forgotten quite yet.
You know what, Cordell? I'm going to go with Devin Leary.
Okay. He was the one that gave you something.
And the guy that he's going to be throwing it to, I'm with you. Kadir. Ishmael. Yeah. 83. And then I'm going with Adisa Isaac.
Okay.
Number 50. He'll be number 50. Gets a sack.
I'll also take another shot in the dark here. And this isn't even his forte, but Tavius Robinson gets to the quarterback tomorrow.
95.
Yeah, Tavius Robinson gets to the quarterback.
All right.
So we'll see what happens come next week when you all reconvene. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get to some NFL lunch, look around the NFL. I forgot to mention this the other day. Shame on me. Tavon Austin retiring on Tuesday. This is probably the best football player that YouTube has gotten to see since it's been in this creation. Obviously, he's a local guy as well, so we'll talk about that and much more around the NFL next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.